Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
molecular tour of C2+. That's two carbons and missing an electron overall. So it's called a carbon dimer ion. And it's something which I think is, there's not many papers written. It's very missed, but it's sort of one of those cameo molecules which play just a very important important role. Now, carbon has got six protons, two inner shell electrons, 1s electrons, and then four electrons on the outside of it in a hybridized or various orbitals, either in the 1s and 3 in the 3px, PYPZ, or a sp2 orbital or an sp3 orbital. It takes a different shapes for it. Now, it's a bit hard to do, but it really is that these orbitals are pretty much the same energy. So it's got your fix. There's other things which add into it. Now, these are the individual carbon atoms. And in the school context, they tend to give you the atomic orbitals. That's the electrons associated with the individual nucleuses. But if you have two atoms together, you have such a thing as a molecular orbital. And you can think of a molecular orbital as an atomic orbital. However, the actual nucleus is split in two. And what actually happens is you get on the left and right hand side of the page the atomic orbitals, and in the center you have the the lowered molecular orbitals. So if it's not energy efficient combination of orbitals, you push the two atoms together, and what you get is just repulsion. The energy levels of the electrons go up as they push away. Now, what happens is that that image of molecular orbitals is for the energy at bond length. And so if it gets any closer, those molecular orbitals go out to antibonding, and if they go further away, they just go out to the atomic orbitals. And so as they come together, the actual orbitals or the electron shapes, it's best treated mathematically as a molecular orbital. And so your molecular orbitals, if you've got S and P, they go to sigma and pi. And basically they're the same as the atomic orbitals, except the nucleus is split in the center. But you've got two symmetries, and you now have a point of symmetry, which you don't have in with a central nucleus. With a split nucleus, you can have symmetric and anti-symmetric, or bonding and anti-bonding. So your S orbitals, they come together and they produce your S orbital, which is a single orbital with spin up, spin down on either side, comes together to make two molecular orbitals, one symmetric and one anti-symmetric, but S is still got symmetry, rotational symmetry. And then two goes to the different pi orbitals. And basically, your carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine are all pretty much the same thing. It's just what happens is that as you go up, you push an extra proton into one of the nucleuses and an extra electron. So really, ethane and fluorine, there's got a lot of the same atomic properties there, except the in ethane, which is CH3, there's four protons which are now sticking out into space and holding it there. But both ethane and fluorine have a single sigma bond in it. Now, there's a lot to go in. I think a lot of the school stuff, by not actually treating the orbitals correctly, or the atomic orbitals, they essentially don't mention molecular orbitals, and so therefore people are sort of looking at these electrons sitting on the outside of atoms, and they're sitting there, and you don't need a supercomputer, you just need your eyes in front of you to know that this is unstable. What they draw at school is an atomic orbital, and an atomic orbital doesn't actually move the electrons between the two nuclei and create a stable point. And essentially, the important thing is about quantum wave functions, is that they're not individual bits which are moving. If they were individual bits are moving, it would become unstable and just fly and move out into one bit. It's actually not moving. It's actually stationary, but its phase, imaginary phase, is flushing through it at a rate proportional to its energy and angular momentum. So that's sort of an important aspect to get your head around, that molecular orbitals are intrinsically good things to stick. So if you're going to a hardware store and you want to stitch things together, you skip the atomic orbital aisle and go up to the molecular orbitals aisle, and you have to, in order to use molecular orbitals, you have to be skilled in quantum mechanics and know that the actual molecular orbitals fill all space and actually go through each other. I've got a bit of time. I don't know if you can hear the rain pouring down. Just to talk about C2+. For me, the most incredible stuff, and I've been privileged to actually look at the spectral data of a flame, and a carbon issue flame. So essentially, you've got the production of soot, but not so much soot, even buckyballs and things like that. And that requires a lot to make in in the kiln of a flame. If you chuck something in a hot thing, you don't expect structured stuff to come out. But that's essentially what happens in a hot flame. You get structured soot coming out, and these are little clumps of carbon. Yeah, sort of go figure. That's very hard. And one of the most sort of awe-inspiring things to see is to see a comet. Now, at night, with your poor night vision and stuff like that, comets look sort of fuzzy. But if you look under a microscope, you can see that some comets are actually green. And the greenness is the molecular transitions of carbon. And up in comets, up in deep space, carbon dimers are the carbon gas in comets are carbon dimers. And carbon dimers C2+ are pretty amazing, because these are things which are vibrating, but they've got a charge, so they will bounce very strongly against electrons. And I've got someone looking at me. I'm going to have to stop now. I'll talk about that a bit later on and get up there into the Toastmasters stuff. Just let's have a look at what's going on. I've got another 5 minutes. Oh, yeah. So, it's probably getting too loud to hear against the rain here. But the important thing is that being an iron, it's got a huge cross-section and to bound. And what will happen is the electron will want to go in that carbon dimer. And then if it's got any vibrational energy, it's enough to actually kick that electron off. And so that electron, in terms of landing in on that dimer, cools that dimer down. And when it cools dimer down, it means it can crystallize. And so you get this crystallization of carbon dimers, carbon soot, carbon buckyballs, if you know how to do it. And if you have something with intensely hit very high electron density, as an arc, you'll get these buckyballs falling out. So that's all I have to say at the moment. I don't know how this has gone through in the horrendous rain here. I've got to go off to my Toastmasters meeting at the moment. See you later. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you.
may you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.